Chapter 10. "Where is it?" I demanded. "Did you get close to it?"
"No, of course not,"
the lioness said, with a shake of her head.
"We knew we were close from the smell, and we didn't want to risk running into anyone, though it looks like you may have run into someone yourself."
While my automatic healing had taken care of my bumps and bruises from the fight, my hair was a wild mess, and my clothes were covered in clumps of wet sand from rolling around in battle. "Yeah, I found the fisherman," I grunted and rubbed my hand through my messy hair. "And then I lost him. He's a mage, and he was strong enough to open a portal to the underworld right in front of me. He tried to push me into it before I got a hold of him."
"Damn,"
Rebecca breathed and looked me up and down.
"Do you think he opened the rift too?"
"I wouldn't be surprised. Between him and whoever N is, we have some pretty powerful people around here somewhere. But for now, we need to go find that rift and seal it."
"We'll lead you to where we smelled it. It's over by that big building with all the columns."
"The museum?" Phineas asked with wide eyes. "Oh, I hope they haven't ruined anything inside." "What do you have in there?" I wondered, and my inner dragon paced back and forth with excitement at the prospect of more treasure.
"Priceless artifacts from our city's history,"
Helmy replied with a smug jut of her chin.
"Nothing for you to pillage."
"It could have attracted the sect," I scoffed, though I was a little disappointed, to be honest. "The same thing happened in Kana a few weeks ago, and we had to help them get rid of tons of bandits. I'm not the only person in Rama who likes treasure. Besides, if that was all I wanted, why would I come talk to you? I would have snuck in just like they did."
"That's a good point,"
Aaliyah agreed with a twitch of her golden tail.
"I suppose,"
the Duchess murmured, though she didn't look happy to agree with the lioness.
"Either way, we need to make sure the intruders don't get to it too."
"Then we need to go now. Lead the way." Rebecca and Aaliyah dipped their heads and paddled in the direction of the museum with the rest of our group right behind them. Phineas, Helmy, and a handful of guards followed along, and I could hear them whispering to each other as we went. It seemed the merpeople didn't realize how well dragons could hear.
"Why did Lord Evan think you would know about the fisherman's journals?" Phineas asked in a low voice.
"How should I know? He already said they've found other leaders involved with this sect group. He's probably just assuming one of us is, too."
"But you aren't helping them, right?"
the Duke prodded, and his voice was tinged with worry.
"It seems this green glass sect is involved in some very bad things, and we can't be doing anything to help them."
"Of course not."
His wife's voice was a little shriller before she lowered it again.
"I would hope you know me better than that, Phineas."
"I do, my love," Phineas sighed. "I'm only trying to get to the bottom of this. This miasma and rift business has me feeling very anxious."
"As am I,"
Helmy agreed quietly.
"I hope we find some answers here, even if it is because of the dragon."
I smirked to myself at her annoyance. The mermaid leader didn't like me at all, but she would have quite the rude awakening when she realized I wasn't full of shit about helping them get rid of a huge problem. As we got closer to a large building on the edge of the city, I could smell the reek of miasma floating in the water ahead of us like rotting flesh. The museum was just far enough away from other buildings for the smell to not draw much attention from anyone near it, but I recognized it right away.
"Is that the smell you were referring to?"
The Duke wrinkled his nose in disgust as we neared the building.
"Ugh. It smells like that rotten fish we caught."
"Exactly," I muttered, as I focused my attention on the museum ahead. "It smells like death. Something has been poisoned by the miasma, and whatever it is, it's close." The museum stood about 3 stories tall, and the sandstone columns reached from the top of the short, wide stairs to the bottom of a sloped roof. The columns were smooth but painted with merpeople in various activities, from swimming to eating to giving birth, which was very educational. It was quite an array of images, but what mostly caught my attention was the open water behind the building. It seemed the wrought iron fence that circled the rest of Pullis looked somewhat misshapen there, but I couldn't quite put my finger on what was wrong with it. The water hadn't been distorting my vision since we'd been down here, but it was hard to tell what exactly was wrong.
"What do you see?"
Aliona asked quietly, and I knew she was watching my eyes scan the water ahead. "Look at that fencing," I murmured. "It's, like, wiggly." The adjective wasn't the fanciest word I could use, but it accurately described what I saw. The iron rails should have been straight and strong, but instead, they looked like half-cooked noodles that moved with the flow of the water. They waved back and forth just slightly, too, almost like a breeze blew over the top.
"Looks like we know where to look,"
Laika observed with a flick of her bushy gray tail as her ears flattened against the top of her head.
"Something is definitely wrong over there."
"Duke, Duchess, stay over here with your guards," I ordered the merpeople. "I don't know what we'll find, but I know we'll be able to handle it better on our own."
"Wait just a—"
Helmy started and clenched her fists. "Go ahead," the Duke cut her off with a stern look. "This is your area of expertise, after all, and I don't want my wife to get hurt." The mermaid leader looked at him with a mixture of adoration and defeat. She knew he was looking out for her, and she couldn't argue with his logic, though she'd clearly wanted to be involved in every step of our process. I figured it was because of her involvement with the sect, but she couldn't exactly use that argument without admitting she knew the fisherman, or N. So I'd taken advantage of her husband's undying support of her and go on this mission without her. And whatever it was she didn't want us to find out, I definitely planned on finding out. "Of course," I smirked at the Duchess and waved to my companions. "Let's check it out." We paddled closer to the fence, and the stench of miasma grew even stronger. It wafted across the water until I could nearly taste it, and the sensation made my stomach do a flip. Then Naomi sucked in a quiet breath, and I held out one hand to stop our movement and looked at her curiously.
"My lord, I think it's a mirage,"
she whispered.
"I've never seen one underwater before, but that would explain why the surface appears to move with the water."
"Ah," I muttered, as she figured out what was up with the noodle fence. "So there's probably something just behind this area, and we need to be prepared. Weapons out." I drew the Sword of Healing from my belt, while Nike unsheathed the Sword of Light. Laika pulled her broadsword from her back, and Ravi conjured a fire bow and arrow. Aaliyah and Rebecca extended their claws, while Naomi, Aliona, and the Dryads prepared to use their magical defenses. Mariah glanced at me with knowing eyes and then disappeared from view as she traveled into my spiritual sea. The sword spirit's power flowed through the blade in my hand, and I bared my teeth in a feral grin. We were ready for battle. We glided toward the mirage and pushed through the magical image to see dozens of fish swimming around aimlessly. It almost looked like a normal escape.
"What the hell?"
Rebecca mumbled. Then I realized what we were really seeing. More corrupted fish. They were decaying, just like the ones we'd taken care of yesterday. Their black scales sloughed from their stiff bodies, and their bulging black eyes turned to focus on our arrival. Then they moved with sluggish flicks of their tails as they aimed for Aliona. I noticed about a third of them were different from the corrupted ones. Their eyes were still black, but they looked more aware. Their red, yellow, and blue scales were their normal colors, but marred by black streaks that appeared in burst patterns up and down their bodies. The scent of miasma was much stronger here, too, like it was burning underwater. It seemed some of the fish were only poisoned by the miasma, but they were all making a beeline for the princess.
"We can re-kill the corrupted ones, but I'm going to heal the others," I called out as I swam closer to the approaching fish. "Don't let any of them near Aliona!"
I held the Sword of Healing out in front of me like a lightning rod, and Mariah and I pushed the full source of our power through the blade and into the water. It was like a jolt of glittery lightning burst out from the end of the sword and speared through the water in branches of magic. White light sparked through the water and settled over all the fish, who seemed stunned for a moment as the healing magic began its work. The glittery power pushed the black poison from the fish's veins, and soon their scales returned to their normal bright hues while their eyes lightened in color. Within seconds, the poisoned fish had lost interest in the princess and began to disperse, but the corrupted creatures continued toward us, and their black eyes zeroed in on the princess as they flipped their fins to navigate closer. Though it wasn't the intense battle we'd been prepared for, my team of warriors got to work. Nike and Laika's swords cut through the water and severed the corrupted fish into pieces that floated to the ocean floor, while Naomi and Ravi used magical fire to burn through the reanimated corpses. The Dryads used their nature magic to push the fish toward Rebecca and Aaliyah, and the two lady warriors clawed their way through wave after wave of corrupted fish. Then I sheathed the sword of Hatra and used my own fire magic to disintegrate the mangled bodies before they could reach Aliona. Orange and black fire soared through the water as body after battered body fell to the ocean floor in chunks and ashes until the ground was littered with their remains.
Is that all of them?
Lyca asked between gasping breaths. Even the wolf warrior was still getting used to fighting while swimming, and it seemed to sap our energy. I quickly sent a wave of healing magic over the group to soothe their sore muscles and boost their energy, and a collective sigh came over my companions as the magic settled over their tired bodies. I think so, I confirmed after I searched the water for a sign of any more corrupted creatures. But I still smell my asthma.
Over there,
Aliona said, and pointed to a deep purple glow on the ocean floor about 50 yards ahead of us. The spot had been hidden behind droves of miasma fish, but it was painfully obvious now. We swam closer to find the glow came from a deep tear in the fabric of our realm. Black smoke oozed out from its surface, and I recognized it as more miasma. The hollow screams and shrieks of demons were barely audible from inside the rift, and a shiver passed through my body. This is it. They really created a rift here.
Bastards,
Polina grumbled. Indeed. What do we do with it?
This one is different from the one I sealed outside Hatra,
Aliona mused, as she hovered a few feet away from the rift.
It's nearly ready for release. The other one was fresh. This has been here a while.
So the fisherman, or N, has been here a while, too, I concluded. We need to seal this and go after them as quickly as possible.
Okay, but I think I'll have to use a different seal.
The princess closed her eyes and chewed on her lip.
It should probably be the Shendala seal.
Ah, is that the one we saw in the Novum book?
Naomi asked.
Yes.
Aliona confirmed with a nod.
It should be able to combat how close the rift is to release.
Oh!
Mariah gasped from my spiritual sea before she popped out into the ocean with us. Do you have an idea? I asked, as I rubbed my temples and mentally recovered from the quick jump.
More like an addition,
the spirit replied and wrapped a lock of white hair around her finger as she spoke.
If you channel my power with yours, it adds a layer of protection from the spirit world.
Protection from the spirit world? I echoed and scratched my head. Aren't they usually good? Why would we need that?
Not everyone in the spirit world follows the laws to guide without interference,
Mariah answered and offered a shy smile.
Obviously. But also, not every spirit is good. You've met a few wraiths now, which are a type of spirit that never made it to the spirit world, and they aren't the only kind that isn't seeking the best for this realm.
So they could use the rift to escape their world too, I gasped.
Exactly. Then we'd have two wars to wage. Can the rifts be used by any other world?
Ravi asked.
I'm not sure,
Mariah admitted.
It wouldn't surprise me. The rifts are tears in reality as we know it. It makes sense for other worlds to be able to come through them, but I'm not sure how.
Rifts are different from portals because there's less control, right?
Aliona mused.
Where a rift is a tear, a portal is a door.
Right,
the sword spirit agreed. We looked at each other with grim expressions. We didn't need any other people, or creatures for that matter, making their way into our world. So basically, we really need to seal this bitch up, I declared. Let's get it done. Aliona, Naomi, and Mariah nodded in agreement before they joined hands and stood in a line parallel to the rift. They stood just far enough away to avoid the snaking tendrils of miasma that reached out from the rift like smoky fingers trying to grab the women and inject its mind-twisting poison.
Torn by man, sown in sand, ripped by hate, we mend this land.
The three magical women intoned. As they spoke, a solid black ring hovered in the water above the rift. But it was more than black, like the ring was so dark it absorbed light. Then it glided through the water, crashed to the ground around the tear, and sent up a cloud of white sand.
Rebuild and repair. Fill this space. Bring in light. Impart grace.
They continued and held their hands above their heads. Another ring appeared in the water, but this one was the exact color of sunlight, a white and yellow combination of blinding light, as though the sun had sunk down into the ocean for a moment. Then it slid down on top of the black ring with a resounding thud that sent a ripple of power through the water and nearly blew the rest of us backward. Suddenly, the screams of the demons below were gone, and the smell of miasma floated away with the waves. The glowing purple tear disappeared, and the ocean floor returned to its normal sand. "Well, that looked pretty good to me," I commented as an overwhelming silence settled over us.
"Nothing can come out from it now?"
Rebecca asked as she paddled a little closer to the rift.
"Nope,"
Naomi replied and shook her head.
"It's sealed, and it would take multiple really powerful magical people to get past Mariah's level of power. I don't see that happening."
"Good," Nike grunted. "Now, let's get back to finding the bastards who opened it."
We all turned and stared at the noble's ferocious choice of words.
"Wow," I breathed.
"I'm tired of being one step behind them," Nike huffed, and gripped the sword of light in his hand. "I'm ready to slice them up and end this once and for all."
"I hear you, brother," I murmured, and clapped a hand on his shoulder.
"Let's do it."
We started to head back toward the museum, and we brushed through the magical curtain that had hidden the rift.
"Oh, let's get rid of this thing,"
Naomi suggested and waved her hand.
"Reveal."
The mirage lifted and revealed the missing section of iron fence that was supposed to surround the city. The metal posts had been demolished, and only a handful of stubs remained on the ocean floor.
"So I guess this means the letters were definitely real," I murmured, as we swam back toward the Duke and Duchess.
"The rift was here, just like they said."
"It would seem so,"
Alione mused.
"And that also means there are probably more."
"Then we have some more work to do," I said, and clenched my fists. "And it would seem the Duchess has a few questions to answer." Alione grimaced as we approached the merpeople leaders, and Helmi crossed her arms over her chest with a smirk.
"Well, did you find anything on your little trip?"
she asked with a snarky smile.
"Yeah, a rift," I shot back. "Just past the fence, which you'll want to fix, by the way. We sealed it up and got rid of all the poisoned fish."
"Wait, so there really was one of those rift things?"
Helmi stammered as her mouth fell open.
Yeah.
Aaliyah rolled her eyes.
"We didn't come here to make up stories."
I had no idea.
The Duchess murmured and averted her gaze.
"I didn't think such things could really happen down here."
"Neither of us could have known, dear," Phineas assured her.
"Even after the corrupted fish and guardian, you still had your doubts?" I raised an eyebrow. "When are you going to learn?"
"Learn to trust a dragon?" the merman asked and chuckled. "That will certainly take time, Lord Evan."
"And apparently a dozen pieces of evidence," I muttered.
"You saw the portal for yourself."
"It was already gone when I got there,"
Phineas reminded me with a smile.
"But I saw the disease that consumed the fish and our guardian. I know it's difficult to convince others of something you believe, but I think I have one other way to show us."
"Phineas, please,"
Helmi argued.
"If you're thinking about..."
The Duke and Duchess shared a knowing look, and I narrowed my eyes as we waited for one of them to continue.
"It's the only way to know for sure," Phineas declared, after a long moment, where I questioned if they had telepathic communication.
"Fine,"
his wife grunted and crossed her arms over her chest.
"Okay, so is anyone going to loop us in here?" I wondered, and glanced back and forth between the pair.
"I think it will be better to show you," the merman replied and gestured for us to follow him.
"Well, this isn't strange at all,"
Rebecca muttered before we kicked off and swam after the merpeople.
"Should we be worried?"
Nike asked in a half-joking tone.
"I'm not really sure. They want us to prove ourselves, so I guess if whatever this is helps, we should give it a shot."
My companions nodded, and we continued to swim back toward the center of the city and the castle. Then Phineas, Helmi, and their guards darted around to the left of the building and continued along the wall. They turned behind the palace and approached a small house on the outer edge of the city near the iron fence. The house seemed like it was barely big enough to live in, and it wasn't anything fancy. The walls were made of the same sandstone as the other buildings, but there were no jewels or paint decorating the exterior. It certainly didn't look important enough to warrant four merman guards standing outside. The four burly mermen stood with matching golden staves in their hands and grim expressions on their faces. They turned nearly simultaneously at our approach and nodded to the Duke and Duchess.
"Your Grace, you, brought the visitors?" one of the guards asked with an air of uncertainty as he eyed me and my group. "Lord Devon and his companions may be able to, help," Phineas replied carefully. "Your Grace, I'll just—" the guard began.
"I know."
The Duke cut him off with a raised hand.
"I'll try anything at this point."
"Try anything for what?" I wondered. "You haven't told us anything." Phineas opened his mouth to reply when a chilling scream radiated out of the house, followed by the sound of chains rattling. Our collective heads turned toward the building in shock, and I noticed the merman's face showed utter pain, while his wife's expression was a smooth mask of emptiness. What the hell had we gotten ourselves into?